So we'd like to read for us from the Word of God, from Philippians 1, verse 12 to 14. And so I'm reading this morning, surprisingly, from the King James Version, the New King James. So the English is a bit better, but I found that there's the Greek word better translated, and you'll see my emphasis on the word James. It's not in the other one. It's not in ESV. So, really, that's intimidating. So I'm going to try my best to finish with imbalance. So I would like to read then from the New King James, because of the word chains, that is actually, I think, accurately translated here. So Philippians 1 verse 12 to 14. So this is from the joyful letters that Paul writes from the prison in Rome. He said, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So only so far from God's word this morning. So our theme for this morning is chains for the gospel's sake. Chains for the gospel's sake. So how wonderful it is to be free. How wonderful it is to determine your own steps, what you're going to do next, what you want to do next. You can, within bounds, do. But also how horrible it must have been then for Paul, who was a free man, who could go from city to city, town to town, travel all over the Roman Empire, to be a prisoner, to be in chains. He was the leader. We always read about Paul, who decided where they're going to go next. He was the leader of a group of people that, like Timothy and more Silas, and they were all together with him, and he was determining his steps. But now we read about Paul. We read of Paul writing while he is in prison, while he is in chains. And we see in this letter to the Philippians that he is joyful in spite of that. That there's a boldness in Paul in spite of the fact that he is bound and in chains. And the reason why is not because it was somehow nice for Paul. That Paul was the type of guy, you know, that liked chains. Or the type of guy that likes to know that maybe I'll be executed within a reasonable soon time. No, but why he was joyous was he was seeing God at work. He was seeing God that was working. He was experiencing that, yes, I'm in chains, but you know what? God is still God. God is still sovereign. God still reigns and rules. And that's why throughout this letter of the Philippians, written out of jail to the congregation in Philippians, we see a joy with Paul, a joy and a boldness. And so we also experience in our life, as we minister, and all of us have some kind of ministry going, right? We're all in ministry. If it's you maybe working at Mukanyo, or you're studying for ministry, hopefully to already you in ministry. And all of us are somehow ministering the word of God. And all of us know what it is to experience opposition, to experience some kind of constraint, resistance and troubles and problems. But we are encouraged this morning not to be scared, not to be timid, not to be afraid when we encounter things such as that, but to be joyful, bold in our ministry, preaching and speaking about Christ, because God reigns. So let it be our response. And I would like us to look at this wonderful section in Philippians by looking at three headings. So the first one we're going to look at is chains to aid the furtherance of the gospel. So chains to help the advance of the gospel. So the chains were actually there so that through those exact chains, the gospel were advancing. So if we just look without faith at what happened to Paul, it's something that we could be very disheartened about, and he as well. So he was caught in Jerusalem on false accusations, and so it seems that the Jews had the upper hand. And so the Romans were having in them now, because of the Jews, in their hands. So it was a situation where we would say, well, the powers of the day, the powers of the Jews, the powers of the Romans, they were in control. They were busy doing their thing, and they were, Paul were in the palm of their hands, and they could crush him at any second, which was actually the case. They could do it. But now Paul is saying to the Philippians, the congregation that was very concerned about him, they loved Paul, they were concerned, they heard what happened, and they were concerned. And he was saying to them, yes, it's true. It's not as if it's nice what happened to me, but he's saying, but hang on. Look what God is doing here. Look at my chains, but what God is doing through the chains, and that God's word cannot be chained and not be put in prison. And so there's resistance against the word. And sometimes it makes us fearful in our own life. Think of our society we are living in. How there's not just indifference against the gospel, but there's also hostility and even animosity. How in our country there is even less and less religious freedom, and not just our country, but in the world. And so, but in this passage and in Paul's life, we can see that God is still working with his wisdom, in spite of that, and in fact, through that very things that chain us down. And somebody could say, but yes, this wisdom of God, was it not only in Paul's life true? Was it not just there and then? And then I would like to say that no, it is part of how God works because of who he is and how he, in his wisdom, is working. Maybe we can even say it's kind of part of the structure of our faith. It's not a once-off thing that happened here with Paul, and it's not true for us. It's also true in us, in our lives, in our ministries. And why can I say it with so much confidence? Because look how God worked in Jesus Christ, the innocent Savior, hanging on a cruel cross. How can that be good? That's not good. That is evil. That, when that happened, by the hands of Jews and Romans, Jewish plotting and Roman hands, that was not good. That was the most darkest night ever. The wonderful, innocent Savior nailed on the cross. What can ever be good about that? That's evil. That was evil. But we see on the third day that he rose again, that he reigns and rules forever. And so that's why I'm saying we see how God is bigger than the evil, the most evil thing that could happen. The Son of God, nailed to a cross, he turned around and used that. Because of that now, today, because of his resurrection, we have a gospel to proclaim. We have good news to proclaim. And so we see God is in that business, making good out of bad. This very Romans, this very place where Paul was in chains. Earlier, he wrote to them in Romans 8:28. He said to them, because of his grasp of the gospel and his grasp of who God is, he said, God will make everything work together for our good. Now, a few things about that. First, in this passage, it's clear Paul is talking and implying that this is only true for those who he can call brethren. Not brethren in the sense of only male, but brethren of the sense of male and female who are part of the family of God. Only those who can say to God, my Father, our Father, only those people can bank on it that God will make all things work together for our good, even our chains. We can bank on that. Because when you come to faith, you become part of the whole story of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, how he conquered through his resurrection. So that's only true for those who are in Christ. And so therefore, if some of us are not in Christ, you have to think about the fact that it's not true for you, that all things work together for your good. And also for us, called to bring the message of God, know that there's a lot of people out there who do not have this hope, that all things will work together for their good. That's not the promise in the Bible for everyone. Only for the brethren. Only for those who are part of the family of God, male and female. But secondly, also, Paul is not saying that all of these things is actually good. It isn't good. It isn't good. When he says that all things will work together for our good, it's not good that he was in prison. He wasn't enjoying that. It was not nice for him to know, but listen, I can be executed any minute of the day. And so we don't strive for difficulties. We don't go out to be in chains. We will not go out and have pressure groups and asking the government to give us less religious freedom, because then the gospel will be advanced and there will be a furtherance of the gospel. But God also bless us with prosperity. God also bless us in the sense of openness for the gospel, opportunities for the gospel, favorable circumstances for the gospel. Think of that Jesus came exactly in the time of the Roman Empire, when it was possible on good roads for the message to spread, to progress, for the furtherance of the gospel. So God used good things as well, circumstances, that's fine. So we're not actually looking for trouble and chance. Think of the fact that Paul was a Roman citizen. How many times that helped him to get out of trouble? God used the good things as well. And that's good. And therefore, this word here that's accurately translated says, the word says, actually, there's a lot of bad things. There's a lot of opposition against God, His Word. Try to preach His Word and see if you don't get opposition. Try to live a Christian life and see if you won't get into trouble. Even with your family, even in workplaces, even with friends. Try to preach the Word and live the Word. There will be some kind of trouble. But this word here, in this passage that says, actually, remember that. Remember the word actually. Many times we look at the world and it seems that the world today, the secular government, the secular world is ruling and reigning. And that's how it must have felt for Paul. The Jews get their way every time. The Romans are in control and so powerful. But then he will use the word actually. Remember, actually, God rules. God's still God. God is sovereign. He's still busy. Actually, God rules. And so, therefore, we can say God is busy and He's using chains so that the gospel can advance for the furtherance of the gospel. But so maybe you ask, how exactly did the furtherance of the gospel happen in this specific case? And so this brings us to our second point, which is chains to let all know. So in other words, the imprisonment of Paul led to the fact that many, many people got to know about Christ. And we will even see that they came to faith. Not just know, but came to faith. So how did this work? How did the chains cause that? So one of the things was that Paul got to Rome. At last, he always wanted to go to Rome. To the Romans, he wrote the letter and he says, Romans 1 verse 10, always in my prayer, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. So he wanted to go to Rome. One of the reasons, of course, was that it was strategically a very important city for the gospel to go there. Why is that important? Think of how it is even today. If you go have a ministry going in a little town called, like for instance, I was thinking of a little town, and I don't know if you know this town, Rutan. Who have heard of Rutan? Only Antonio. So it's a small place. So imagine you live there and you work, and your influence will only be so great compared to a ministry in, let's say, Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town, places that's big and buzzing. It's just, it can't be compared, that type of ministry. And especially in a day like in Paul's time, where there wasn't things such as now we can reach people through internet, but those days it wasn't there. So strategically, and for the sake of the gospel, Paul wanted to go to Rome, for the gospel's sake, and of course because he wanted to meet the believers there. So this is the one way in which the chains caused the gospel to advance. Secondly, the gospel advanced because now Paul was in chains, but he was chained together with the praetorian guard. So it says in this passage that the whole palace guard, which is the praetorian guard, got to know that his chains are in Christ. So how did that work? How did Paul get the message to the whole praetorian guard, the whole palace guard? And it seems that commentators say that probably the arrangement was that Paul was tied to one of these guards 6 hours at a time, 24/7 a day. So that's probably what the arrangement was. Now, who are these guys? They were the palace guard, the guards of Caesar. So they were probably not nice people. I think you can safely say they were a bit like the pit bulls of the emperor. So if he wants something done, he sent them in and they did what he said. They wouldn't mind dying for him. That type of guy. And they surely didn't mind killing for him. A modern day type of comparison, I think, would be this people, this blue light brigade guys. I don't know if you've seen them on the highway, but and I've heard of things of they assaulted people that didn't get out of the way soon enough, and so that's in a country with a good constitution. The Roman Empire, the ultimate authority was Caesar. And so these guys were mean, strong guys. And the arrangement was that they were tied to poor Paul for 6 hours, one at a time. So in other words, four sessions per day. Could have been the same guys. But so I can imagine it wasn't easy. It wasn't nice. It was inconvenient. There was no privacy. It was some kind of slow torture. But it was an excellent opportunity for the gospel. Paul could reach these guys. He could reach them with the gospel in a way he just could not have done if it wasn't for his chains. And so in addition, we see the gospel spread to the rest because he got some visitors. We read that in Acts 28. We read the following. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him. So a lot of people came to him. That's how all the rest got to know the gospel, how his chains served the gospel. And then it says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, without hindrance. And so also, defending his case in front of officials so that they could hear what the case was. And in that, through that, all of those difficulties, this guy, 6 hours, the same guy, 24 hours, 24/7, tied to a God, a mean, bloodthirsty type of guy. But God used that so that the praetorian guard, all of them got to know his chains are in Christ. You might say, but just for them to know it, is that enough? We read in Philippians 4, and it implies that it was that some of them actually came to Christ. We read in Philippians 4 the following, verse 21-22. Greet every saint in Jesus Christ. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you. And then, listen to this, especially those of Caesar's household. So even up into Caesar's household. How could Paul have reached those guys? How could he if he wasn't in chains? So you see how chains lead to this furtherance of the gospel. And so may we have hope in our lives, when we have chains, that it will also further the gospel. Our last point, chains to make others bold. So we see that Paul is saying, I have chains, but it's making others bold now. Now for me, it seems that the logic is breaking down a bit here, because if, let's say, tomorrow you hear Chris was taken to prison because he was preaching at Mukanyo, and there's a probability that the government will take him out 100%. They will execute him because he had a sermon here at Mukanyo. I think most of you, I would have been shocked. I would be careful what I say next and how I behave and what we will teach at the college. But the opposite happened. The opposite. Paul, beloved Paul, was taken into chains, but the chains made them bold. Why? Maybe many reasons, but for one, definitely, they saw what God was doing. They saw God is sovereign. God is still God. Paul is in chains, but not the gospel and not God. God is still working. God is not in a panic. God is not scared. God is not caught off guard. When laws are being made, when our hands are being tied, when the church is hindered, when you are hindered in your mission and your ministry and your life as a Christian. So how are you doing? Are you bold? Are you living out your Christian life with confidence, without fear? If not, remember who God is. Remember that He is still in control. He is still busy. In ways that we cannot comprehend, He's using chains in our lives for the furtherance of the gospel. So let us not lose heart when people come against us, when there's things that restrain us, when we see the world, our country, that's against, coming up against us. Do not be afraid, but minister and live out your Christian life joyfully, without fear, and with boldness. Amen. Amen. Let me end with a prayer. So our Father, we thank You that we know that even though there's a lot of evil, a lot of bad things happening out there, that You are still working. You are still God. You are still sovereign. You are still in control. And so help us, Father, therefore, to be bold, to be courageous in our Christian walk, in our ministries, where we are each one in our own way ministering and living out our Christian faith. Help us even when there are in some way, shape or form chains in our lives, to know that You can use, in spite of chains, yes, through that very chains, You can use that for the furtherance, the advancement of Your kingdom and the gospel. And so we pray, Father, that You will use each one of us, and that You will use Mukanyo in a powerful way so that Your gospel will advance. Unstoppably advance in this world, and that Your light will shine in this darkness of this world and the kingdom of this world. We pray this, Father, knowing that You hear and that You want to do what we ask, and that You will do based according to Your will. And so we pray this in the wonderful name of our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.